Welcome to the Good Health Workshop, a show about health, nutrition, cleansing, and detoxification. We will support you where you are and encourage you to reach your health goals. Our purpose is to share information, raise your level of consciousness, and to keep you inspired to transform your life. My name is Donna Peroni, and I am with you today to discuss a topic that is dear to many people. We're going to be talking today a little bit about food cravings. I actually teach a class called Overcoming Food Cravings. So today I'd love to explore this topic. It's a very deep subject for people because a lot of times people don't understand where that comes from, why they can't stick to that diet or give up sugar or stop eating that fried food. So maybe I'll give you some insight today on why that is. And we're just going to take a little snippet from my class. And if you're interested in hearing more, you could always check out gravityeastvillage.com or accentonwellnessnyc.com because I teach classes like this periodically where we can go into much more detail. But it is a new year, so I wish all of you a very happy new year. And the reason why I'm picking this topic is because people have New Year's resolutions. So Lee is here with me today, our engineer. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot, Lee. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Well, I did. First of all, I wasn't going to make any corny jokes. Like, for example, like, hi, I'm Donna Peroni, and that's no baloney. And see, I broke that, I broke that already. Yes, and at the beginning here, on the first, I said, boy, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to worry about bills and money, you know. And then the first thing, an envelope comes, and I look at it, and I said, what? Yeah, so I don't know. I've broken my resolutions
already,
and it's you know, it's the beginning of the year, and I'm just getting ready for the food cravings now.
Okay. Have you had some cravings lately? Have you like overindulged around the holidays?
Not that much. Tell you the truth, I did have the one. I have my yearly food craving because it's a religious thing too.
Okay.
I'm Jewish. I had to have potato pancakes.
Okay.
And after I did
you're that, forgiven. Yeah, your confession.
That was it.
That's Catholic, right? Confession. I don't know.
Listen, I go to Catholic. I go to all the churches because I want to be covered.
Okay. Yeah. I actually think that's very much the New York way these days. You're more spiritual, so you embrace all of it.
Right.
You take what's good and you leave the rest.
Hopefully.
Some people might not like that I say that, but, you know, it's an individual journey.
Yes.
To begin with our topic on food cravings, I want to start by just saying that I'm not perfect. And although I've been...
Oh, man, you've blown my bubble. Donna, I thought you were perfect.
No, definitely not. I eat really healthy. Anyone who's been listening to this program or anyone who knows me through Gravity East Village, they probably see me holding my green smoothies at lunchtime and, you know, green juice midday. And yes, I do enjoy all my raw food delicacies. But, you know, one of my weaknesses is sugar. I have such a relationship with sugar. And I have to say, 2015, my New Year's resolution was to cut back on some of even the cleaner, like raw food, little dessert items or a little bit of chocolate. What happens is I have to have a little bit every day. And even if I'm eating something like dates, raisins, dried fruit, it's still sugar. And
but isn't there a distinction? I mean, if you go into a restaurant and you take three packets of white sugar and put it in your drink, that's like an over refined processed type sugar as opposed to having a date or two or a banana.
Well, the thing is, it's going to spike your blood sugar either way. So the banana is a food and it has nutrition. So that is absolutely a much better choice than eating a Twinkie. Do they even sell Twinkies still?
Actually, the Twinkie company, a couple of years ago, they said they were going out of business.
Oh.
And another and people
God is
got
good.
No,
business
was
good.
Bad. Yeah, no. Well, you would hope so, but what happened is everybody's they wanted Twinkies all of a sudden.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a resurgence, and another company bought the Twinkie company.
Oh, boy.
From Continental Bakeries.
Twinkie did not die.
It did not die. Just the people who ate them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, what was I saying?
It's not as bad. The sugar
it's,
is not
yeah,
as bad
as a Twinkie. So, so there is some nutrients. You know, dates are rich in calcium. So, you know, that's good for your bones. But the problem is sugar can make you very acidic. So if you're acidic, then you'll leach calcium from your bones. So it's just good to keep the extra sweet foods like dates or even bananas to a minimum. So, yes, we're going to explore this topic today. So a craving, what is it exactly? Well, Webster's Dictionary will say it's something that we are longing for. It's something that we desire. It's an urge that comes over us, a need. And that's true. I do feel that when I start to feel that craving coming on, it sort of grabs hold of me. And when I resist my cravings, they persist. So the more I say I can't have it, the more I want it, and the more it's more difficult it is to actually get my mind off of it until I give in and I have that chocolate. So how do we deal with that? So, you know, even with that statement, what I'm suggesting is there's an emotional component. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the physical reasons and the emotional components of what triggers those food cravings. But there are two different types of eaters. There's compulsive eaters and then there's normal eaters. The compulsive eaters will eat more than they need or even want to, and they eat when they're not hungry. And they also eat for other reasons like boredom, maybe they're feeling a certain void in their life. Maybe they're a little depressed, emotional reasons. Normal eaters will only eat when they're hungry. They'll stop when they're full or content, and that's that. So honestly, I know that he wants to say something, but honestly, I think that most people fit somewhere in the middle. I think that I like to think that people are normal eaters that can be compulsive eaters at times.
Well, that's it. I think you hit it right there because you said, well, I'm a normal eater, and then all of a sudden something unexpected happens or you're having a really bad day and you get depressed and you say, bring on the ice cream.
Right. I knew you were going to say ice cream. That is true. So we'll first talk a little bit about the physical reasons why, you know, that craving will come up and then we become compulsive about our eating. So sugar, as I mentioned, that's kind of the thing that I still need to work on that kind of creates food cravings for me. And the thing about it is sugar will like induce a lot of pleasure sensations in the body. So whether it's fruit or agave syrup or dried fruit or cane sugar, believe it or not, this sweet taste, once we get that sweet taste in our mouth, it activates pleasure centers in the brain. And there's that kind of like feel-good feeling. So if I turn to Lee right now and I'll just say, birthday cake.
Where?
Exactly. You know, room gets really happy. Like, who doesn't smile when you say birthday cake or ice cream? Everyone gets excited because it's almost a physical reaction.
That's true. But before I got into a healthy lifestyle, eating healthy, I was into candies. I would eat a Hershey bar every day when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Or even when I was an adult, mm-hmm. before I really had any knowledge of health, it would be nothing for me to have a candy bar or two, or after dinner, have two or three chocolate eclairs.
Sure.
But once I changed my diet, and got into, and this is even before I became raw, when I just became vegetarian and started eating a much better style, the foods that let's say that eclair or that candy bar or the soda, because I used to drink a lot of soda, it became extremely, it tasted 10 times sweeter than I remember it tasting before.
Sure.
So I can't even do it. Right now, I mean, if I went to the store and I looked at, let's say I was enamored by not even the regular soda, but the soda where they, you know, supposedly the health food store type soda, and I had a couple of sips of that, I would say, my God, this is unbelievably sweet.
Right.
So your tongue does change.
Yes, when you eat a cleaner diet, then the taste buds will sharpen, and then, you know, a piece of lettuce actually can taste good.
Yeah.
But if you're eating, you know, potato chips and French fries and pizza, then a salad feels like it has no flavor because the taste buds are perverted, you know.
Also, it depends on whether it's organic or what source you get it, because you can go to the store and buy a, well, let's say romaine lettuce. Well, first of all, the white lettuce does really have no taste.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to share a little more information about these reasons why we get addicted to food. So there's endogenous opiates. They're actually found in sugar. And endogenous actually means that it's, you know, from that source. So basically, the opiates that that are generated are basically like in effect are similar to opium. So opium. So of course that makes it sugar really addictive. So yeah, if you're having one candy bar, as Lee was having, you may start off with just having a piece, and then over time you're eating the whole bar every day, and then before you know it, you just really need to have a fix like morning, afternoon, and evening, and who knows how much you're eating. And it could translate into not just the chocolate, but something like bread, which is our next category. It's also very high in sugar. So the thing about bread is it also has these opioid peptides, and it's found in the wheat gluten. So most people have a really hard time. She suggests to them to give up that bagel and the bread and the pasta. Then that's a really hard thing to ask someone to do if they've been eating bread their whole life. It was really difficult for me to give up bread because it was so part of my everyday. I ate sandwiches, I ate pasta, I ate pizza. It seemed unthinkable. What would I eat if I wasn't eating bread? So, but there's a lot written right now. There's a book called Wheat Belly that came out a couple of years ago. And, you know, I forget the name of the author, I'm embarrassed to say, but in that book, he goes into a lot of detail about what's wrong with wheat today and how it's been so hybridized over hundreds of years to the point where they can sort of call it genetically modified. You know, technically not on the list, but that wheat has been so manipulated. It's nothing like what the original seed was like. So we put that in our body, and a lot of people are allergic. Sometimes they're really having major reactions. Sometimes the digestion gets very, very upset. Well, but the thing about what we're talking about today is because in that gluten it has the opiates, it just leaves you dreaming about it. So let's say you're successful and you decide you're not going to eat wheat anymore and you haven't had it for 30 days and you feel like I've done it. I'm not craving it anymore. And then you go over to your mom's house and mom says, oh, have some bread. And you're like, no, I'll just have a slice. And you're like, well, okay, just one slice. What's that going to hurt? As soon as you get your fix, as soon as that bread comes into the body and you're exposed to those opioid peptides again, that's it. You're going to be craving more of it. It might be hard for you to stop at one slice, but even if you're successful saying that's all, guaranteed, same time the next day, 2 p.m., let's say, you're going to be dreaming about it. You're going to be coming up with any excuse in your mind of why it's okay for you to have the bread again. And you may give into it. Because there's a chemical reaction that happens in the body, and it literally affects your central nervous system. And again, it's creating a pleasure feeling in the body. It's similar to an endorphin experience, like where you feel like a sedated effect, but at the same time a very pleasurable feeling in the body, right? If we eat enough bread, it makes us feel a little sleepy, right? If you eat a big plate of pasta. So
that's an allergic reaction.
And that's the thing. It can be allergic in the sense that you may get caught up with needing to have it day after day after day, and then you're no longer able to give it up.
I meant the sleepiness.
Oh.
That's true. My partner has talked about that a lot. Yeah, but people, they'll have a piece of pizza or they'll have some pasta and they're just ready to go to sleep.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. It creates that feeling of, wanting to, you're sedated. So what do people do? They
go to Bread Eaters Anonymous. Call Donna.
Well, I mean, like on average, that person that's eating the bowl of pasta when they come home from work, they're sitting on the couch, they're watching TV, right? And then they numb out. So that will tap into what will support someone not facing an issue, right? It's easier to eat the plate of pasta and zone out on a TV program and then go to bed and start the day over again. And then what you really want is to quit your job and maybe go after a different dream, a different, maybe get a divorce and meet somebody else or, whatever it is. A lot of times people have problems, and when we can go into a space where we numb out and we are a little sedated, it's just easier. People drink alcohol for that same reason.
Same reason, that's true.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, and then there's also milk. Milk is another one. If I ask people about whether they drink milk or not, they say, oh, yeah, I don't drink much milk. And I'm like, what about cheese? And I'm like, oh, are you kidding? I could never give up cheese. So these opioid peptides actually are present in cheese and milk. And the cheese, it's much more prominent because it's a concentrated form of milk. And that is there because it creates a bonding between mother and child. So the milk is really meant for the baby. So if we're drinking a concentrated form of that, then of course we're going to be craving it much more. It's going to be addictive is a strong word, but for a lot of people, yeah, it feels kind of addictive because they can't live without it. So we're going to take a break now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Good Health Workshop, and I'm Donna Peroni, and you're listening to NewYorkTalkRadio.net or CatskillsRadio.com, and we're talking about food cravings today, and what's behind this mystery of the food craving? So to finish a little bit about the physical reasons why we get dependent on our food cravings, deficiencies. I would have to mention that because sometimes there is something going on. Perhaps you're low in magnesium and that's why you're craving chocolate. Perhaps you are low in essential fatty acids and your body can't make omega-3 or 6, but you can't understand why you keep eating too many avocados, you're craving too much oil or fats, but you're not getting the right kind of fat. Maybe you need flax oil, and that would help that craving. So there could be reasons behind your craving because there's a deficiency involved. So that's something to look at when you go see your doctor to get tested. I also do kinesiology. It's something that I offer to clients at my wellness center. And it's really interesting because I can work with people with the muscle testing and tell exactly how much B vitamins they need or how much D, even vitamin C. So that can really fill in the blanks if you ever come see me down at Gravity East Village. And we could explore kinesiology maybe on another program. And then the other reason why people have food cravings could be that there's an imbalance going on with their digestion. Maybe they're not absorbing their food very well. This is a really important issue. So if you feel gassy a lot when you eat, or if you feel your digestion is off, or even your elimination, perhaps you need some digestive support, and then you would benefit because you'd be absorbing and assimilating your food better, and you may have less food cravings. That's something to consider. And then some people have a real imbalance going on with their intestinal flora. And our gut flora, it's like a garden that's living inside of us. And the microbes, if they are out of balance, then this would cause you to crave more sugar, for instance, because a lot of the unfriendly bacterias or parasites are going to make you crave more sugar in many instances. So that is something else to check out. I can give a whole talk on that subject, but I just would throw that out there, that is something else to look at, because some of these parasites can even cause anemia. They can cause some real mineral deficiencies in the body, because they can really be eating up all of your food. So you'll be eating more than for yourself. And if that's what's going on, that really has to be addressed, because in the long term, it can really lead to some more serious health challenges. So now I'd like to go over why emotionally we may have this problem with food cravings. You know, there's emotional reasons that may trigger our food cravings. So basically, I like to start this part by saying that that it stems from unaddressed psychological and spiritual needs. So I always repeat that when I teach the class. So our emotional reasons for maybe overeating or having food cravings tend to stem from unaddressed psychological and spiritual needs. So that's what we're going to explore now. So in our childhood, you know, we were given a certain message about food. And some people were given the message that food is love. You know, perhaps our parents were not the type that expressed love openly, but maybe you had a mother that really overfed you, and that was her way. So you may crave certain foods based on your experience as a child. Also, you know, your family may have had certain traditions on certain foods they would eat. Maybe it was cultural. And some of those foods may have not have been very healthy. So you'll be drawn to those foods because, you know, when we witness what our parents ate as babies, as children, it's like a sponge. We take in everything that they were doing. So if your parents loved French fries and they were eating it, but they told you, well, you can't have any, well, regardless, you're probably going to be having those French fries eventually, and you're probably going to continue having them because, hey, that's what mom and dad ate. So this goes very deep in our psyche. Because there are role models. So if you had overweight parents, if you had unhealthy parents, that conditioning is going to affect you. Plus, we take pride in those family traditions, and we tend to want to carry on those recipes, and whether they're healthy or not. And I talk to a lot of people about this, and it seems almost like they don't have any control over it. It just seems like it is the way it is, and there is no new way of approaching that dynamic. I'm here to tell you that there is. You can take maybe an old recipe that your parents had, and you can change that into a healthier version. And so, you know, being creative and looking at recipe books, and maybe instead of a chicken salad, or a tuna salad, you'd be coming up with one that's made out of nuts and seeds. So your mother's favorite recipe of egg salad, you're going to do a raw version of it. And there are ways to make it taste like eggs, or to taste like very similarly to the chicken salad. And maybe it has some flavors like celery or onions, or maybe even olives, or something that made it kind of special. Maybe the seasoning, maybe there was paprika, or maybe a certain type of jalapeno pepper, whatever it is, you could probably recreate that recipe. So getting back to other reasons why emotionally we have these food cravings, we use food as entertainment. So oftentimes we'll sit on the couch and we're bored. I had a client recently came in and he says, I can't watch a movie without eating something. And he says, I'll eat the whole container of Haagen-Dazs. And he says, I don't even realize I'm doing it. I just do it. So we tend to have a relationship with food that it's a pleasurable experience. It tastes good. But we forget that really food's purpose is to nourish us. And that is the main purpose. And yes, we can enjoy our food, but oftentimes when we overeat on food or if we use it in this way, it's usually cooked. So cooked food has certain components in it that will cause us to have a more of a likelihood to overeat. So that sort of goes into another thing that people will struggle through of overeating. And, it just will stimulate more appetite when we overeat on especially rich foods. And those rich foods tend to be cooked. But, if I put a salad in front of you, you're probably not going to eat until you're stuffed. You'll probably eat until you're content. And if that you made that a common practice that you had, a salad every day for lunch with some avocado or nuts and seeds, you'd probably feel really good doing that every day. So we are creatures of habit. And when we can create new habits and we can stick with that, they say if you can stick with a habit at least, 22 days, you're very likely to continue with that same habit. So it's about making space, letting go of the old habits, and creating a new way, and being open to trying something new. So we use food oftentimes as comfort. We use it as a prize, a reward. Maybe as a kid, you got a good grade, and your grandmother took you out for a hot fudge sundae. So again, we carry this on that wow, I'm working really hard. I worked a long day. I deserve mine. So I'm going to stop off and get myself that ice cream on the way home. So I go through that myself. And there's so many other ways to create that reward for yourself. And it could simply be that you draw yourself a hot bath with lavender and beautiful salts at the end of the day. Or maybe you'll light a candle and write your gratitudes. Maybe you're going to just read your favorite book and just relax. It's all about how you define it. It's such a quick fix to grab the Haagen-Dazs, but it's a quick kind of reward. But then you might feel a little sick after eating it. So it really isn't a reward in the end, because oftentimes then you're going to feel bad about yourself that you can't seem to lose that extra 10 pounds. So we have to find a balance, and finding that balance is very, very important. We tend to use food as a distraction. Maybe we're not facing a certain issue that's going on. Maybe your true desire is to go back to school and start a new career, and that you hate your job and it's not going anywhere. But it's just easier when you come home from work to eat that plate of pasta and zone out and not think about it, not think about what's missing, what's lacking. Maybe you've been shut down a long time because your wife or husband and you have just really grown apart for years, but you stay there because you have kids. So we sometimes will use food as a pacifier for what's missing to fill that void. And it's a way of checking out. Some people will use alcohol. But what's interesting is when we overeat or we eat a lot of these refined, unhealthy foods, or if we overeat even healthy foods, what happens is there's a lot of fermentation that occurs because there's no way we can really digest these foods all that well. And a lot of the sugars will ferment. And that fermentation, if the belly is full enough and the digestion is slow enough, it's going to turn to alcohol. So there's so many things that are going on when we act out with food. And it's easy for me to talk about it and just point out these things. But I do feel that if we can shed light on these issues, then it's the first step of maybe making a change. And, you know, over 58 million Americans are overweight. How many are going under bypass surgery? How many people are, you know, children even who are overweight? And the number keeps growing every day. The big epidemic today is obesity. So it is a major issue. And we all know somebody that's out of control with their health. And taking steps to take care of ourselves is the greatest gift we can give to ourselves, because when we take care of ourselves, it's a form of love. So there's one other thing I'd like to explore in this segment, spiritual emptiness. So sometimes if we are not connected to source, and that source can be God, it can be whatever you want to call it that makes your heart beat, that creates that life force inside of you, and we have a disconnect. And this being alone, in a sense, can create a depression, because we're separate from that source. So I suggest to you, if you at the very least can connect and be spiritual, it doesn't mean religion or a God thing necessarily. It could be just connecting with that life force within you that's making that heart beat. And oftentimes we can connect just by being in nature, taking a walk in the park. We can feel more connected to even other people by service, by volunteering, by being connected to community, prayer, meditation, of course. A lot of times when we are sitting there with the Haagen-Dazs, we really should be meditating. We should be finding a way to connect. It takes a lot of inner strength to be able to do that. But I wanted to leave that last thought before our segment ends. You are listening to the Good Health Workshop, and we are talking about overcoming food cravings today. My name is Donna Peroni, and you should come see me at my wellness center at Gravity East Village here in New York City. I am a colon hydrotherapist, and hey, it's the new year. It's a good time to get cleaned out. We've been absolutely so busy. The phone has been ringing off the hook since January 2nd. You would not believe it.
Pump me out.
So get your butt in to Gravity's Village. So I would love to see you all. You could find out more information about my center at gravityeastvillage.com. We also have an infrared sauna that's very popular. It's wonderful to have a private sauna session. So we have all kinds of good therapies. If you're not into a colonic, you may come in just to have a massage or a Reiki session. We've got lots of different great practitioners at Gravity. So let's talk about some things we can do, like solutions. So we covered like some of the reasons for the food cravings, that what triggers us. I want to give you something to work on or something to take with you. Well, one of our practitioners at Gravity is what they call an EFT practitioner. They call this technique emotional freedom technique. And Julia Lucas is actually going to be my guest on our next show. And we're going to talk about this in detail, this subject. But EFT is a technique that people use to deal with stresses that they may be holding, or stuck emotions or negative emotions or stuck traumas that are in the body. Because sometimes something may have happened to us at some point in our lives and we think we got over it, but that trauma is still in the body. She has a way of sort of helping people to move through it through a technique of tapping on acupuncture meridian points. So stay tuned to the next show. You're going to learn more about that. But yeah, this is a great little technique that when you're coming up with that food craving and you are trying to resist it, that you can literally use this technique to help to move through that stuff that's coming up and to get past it without having the Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, I thought the way to solve it was look up all those kids who beat you up in high school and, you know, track them down and beat them up.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe the Haagen-Dazs.
Maybe not.
What the hell?
And also, a lot of times, many of us are overworked. We are taking care of children, husbands, bosses, other people, especially the women out there. So I'm a big fan of embracing pleasure. And so to create that for yourself in a way that's not using food is really what it's about. So taking a moment to dance in your day. Maybe you like to sing, so maybe you'll sing. Maybe you'll play with the children instead of fighting with the children. Maybe you'll just go out and flirt with the guy at your local health food store. Do you have a dog, a cat? Instead of eating Haagen-Dazs, why don't you play with the dog or the cat? So have some fun. It's a choice in that moment of what, how you can change that experience when that craving is coming up. And, you know, getting active, like all the things I mentioned, they're all pleasurable things, but you kind of have to get off your butt. You know, if you're going to play around with the kids and run around, yeah, you're going to have to feel energetic enough to kind of keep up with those little kitties. So all of that's great. But yes, I mentioned earlier, you could draw a bath up, put some beautiful oils, a little salt in the water, and maybe you have a relaxing experience. Maybe you, instead of having pizza, you go and get a pedicure. And maybe, you know, yet that craving has been persisting and you decide to have that piece of chocolate, but you're going to eat it very slowly. You're going to savor it. You're going to let it melt in your mouth. And you're only going to have a piece. And because you're making it into a spiritual experience where you're savoring that little bit, that is all you need, because you're considering this almost a spiritual journey of having the chocolate rather than something that is not with mindfulness. Something else to look at is to look at your negative emotions. We all have them. It's not socially acceptable to show your anger. It's not socially acceptable to cry at work. But we all have our disappointments. We all have our losses. And we stuff ourselves with food because we don't want to feel. So what I recommend is kind of radical. But if something's coming up and you feel the need to reach for the food, but you're having some tension going on with somebody in your life, or that little issue is just of whatever it is coming up for you, I suggest that you set up your bedroom or your living room when no one's home. You place a lot of pillows on the floor, some blankets. You put on some music that would kind of involve a good cry. It'll help sort of create almost like a rupture in you, where you can crack open into that grief, into that sadness. Maybe you're feeling like a victim. Hey, if you can put on some music that would help you to have a good cry, that's probably what you really need. Maybe you're just pissed off. Maybe you're angry because you just never got what you really wanted in life. And so this is a practice that you might do more than once, even to work through what you're really angry about. But you're creating a safe environment for yourself. You know, you're not going to break anything. You're just going
don't hurt the cat.
Don't hurt the cat. You know, we're talking, you're going to take a pillow and you're just going to slam the pillow on the floor, not at anything else but the floor. And you're going to have the blankets, so you can roll, you can wrap yourself in the blanket, you can roll around the floor a little bit. Hey, when we're little kids, you know, I remember as a little kid, I threw a little tantrum on the floor when I didn't get what I wanted. That little kid who didn't get what she wanted. She's still inside me. And every now and then, I have to throw a temper tantrum. And I have to tell you, doing this as a practice, actually quite regularly than you think, keeps me into my happy, healthy self that you are hearing right now. When I don't provide a space for me to dump all of these hurts and disappointments into this vessel of like my temper tantrum, I get irritable. And then someone on the street kind of walks into me and I'm like, what's wrong with you? You know, or I go to work and this client doesn't show up and I'm ready to explode. I'm so much more patient and happy when I have a place to put all of that aggravation into just slamming a pillow onto the floor. And then when I'm done, I put on some music that helps me to feel like maybe sexy. Maybe it's a slow music that I can sort of dance a little bit and just sort of experience being a woman in particular. That sort of music helps me to get back into my happy place, my pleasure. Maybe it's a spiritual song. Maybe it's a very uplifting music. Maybe it's a pop song that just makes you want to get on your feet and dance and celebrate that you just moved this out of your body. There's a song out, Get Lucky, right? Gonna get the happy song by Pharrell. These songs are great to end your swamp with, believe it or not, because you've had a release. And then to seal the deal, you want to play some music that's going to put you in a really good mood, and then that's actually going to make you want to dance around the room. And so this is a biggie, believe it or not, because I think that we get caught up with all our dramas and we don't really get past why we can't stick to a diet and all of our issues simply because we are not really tuning into what's underneath and driving why we're not loving ourselves.
So I should maybe get some sort of a measuring stick by how many pillows I need a year. In other words, you're just a little neurotic if you only need one pillow. If you need two, you're just kind of neurotic. Three, you're bordering on the psychotic. And four, you better get help.
Well, the more pillows, the better, because okay. If you're rolling around the floor, you're going to want to be padded.
that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get me the rolling around pillow.
So all of this is done in a spirit of loving yourself, okay? So this is not done in a spirit where you're putting yourself into a worse place and you're about to, like, you know, ready to jump off the building. I'm putting this out there to all of us who are already like pretty emotionally happy and healthy generally. I mean, if you are suicidal,
don't take Paxil.
Yeah, I don't know if this will be the right thing for you. I think it might be personally, but if you're seeing a therapist, maybe you should take it up with the therapist if this is the right thing for you. So I want to make that my little disclaimer, because I am not a psychotherapist. So here's some ideas when that food craving comes up. One of the things I do is to negotiate. Okay, I haven't eaten pizza in 26 years, but if I was liking pizza and I was trying to get over it and not eat it anymore, and I was coming home from work and I was going to pass the pizzeria, and yes, it tastes good, it's cheap, it's going to fill my stomach, it's going to be hard to resist not having the pizza. So some people will go into the pizzeria and they'll just smell. They'll just take in the aroma and then leave. But that's very risky because you may have to buy the pizza. So that may not work. But what I would suggest is to negotiate. This really means being very conscious. So you've made a decision, a commitment, and a commitment is essential, okay? And maybe you've decided you're not going to eat pizza anymore. So to stick with that commitment, at the very least, when this comes up, you're going to say, I'm going to put it off for one day. If you can put it off for one day, this is very powerful because you're not saying never again. You're just saying not today. And then you can think about, what do I have at home that could really be tasty? Well, if you're doing your homework right and you're on the path, then you're going to have a refrigerator full of healthy organic food. So that's key. You're going to get rid of all the crappy food out of your house, and you're going to make sure you have lots of healthy options. So when you go home, easily you're going to see those sun-dried tomatoes or, you know, whatever food that you love, an avocado, and that's going to you're going to start to crave that. The second thing you can do, if that's not working, is to pick an alternative. Okay, I'm not going to have the pizza because that's like the worst possible option. But maybe I'll have a vegan version of it. You know, maybe it'll have a whole grain crust and some maybe roasted vegetables and some tomato sauce on it. You know, that would be a better option than to have the store-bought pizza. Or perhaps you'll just go home and take a flax cracker and I would make a raw tomato sauce and I would have that with a yummy salad. But you may not be there yet for that. But these are some ideas. There are alternatives. And so in that moment, you are going to find another option to the pizza. And you're going to find something that you can say, that's right, I forgot. I can go home and eat that other thing that's really yummy.
I think what happens is when you get your body to a certain point where you're eating mostly the right foods, and you do have that craving, and you kind of go off the wagon, let's say like an alcoholic, and all of a sudden you're eating that pizza and this and that, your body tells you, and you'll, at least in my case, I will come down with some kind of terrible cold or where it really gets sick and where it brings you back to reality and you say, listen, you're out of control. You got to get back in control because – you know, you've been sick for 4 days or five days or 6 days.
Thank you, Lee, because that's a great thing. So first and foremost, you make a commitment to taking better care of yourself, of just eating better. And you're going to come up with whatever that means, whatever the definition is. And once you make the commitment and you actually stick to that, then you're going to feel that benefit he's talking about. Because then if you go back and you eat the crappy food, if your body's vital and healthy, you will get sick. You will have a bad reaction. The food may not, as he said earlier, even taste good. So that really helps a lot. And what happens is if you cross that line and you ate the pizza and you got sick, it's still about being conscious because the next time, because we tend to have a short memory. So we'll forget that we were sick because it happened 6 months ago. And then what happens is in that moment, you have to remember what happened the last time when I ate the pizza. I was sick. If you can make a connection with the consequence, then the question to ask yourself is it really worth it?
Well, what happens most of the time, see, it's not – that one piece of pizza, if you're eating right, is not really going to hurt you. But what happens is you have that one piece of pizza and then you have 10 pieces of pizza.
I see.
So – and when that happens, you're going to – I mean, if you have that one piece of pizza, you go back on your – regular diet, you're fine. But then, hey, like I say, when you go off the wagon and you're on a roll, as they say,
eventually you'll get sick.
You're going to get sick. And
see, for me, I get sick. I would get sick immediately. But yeah, some people, they can go on that ride of like chaotic eating until they're just so run down. So yeah, you're absolutely right. So yes, it still means being conscious. It still means remembering what happened last time, remembering that there was a consequence, and that we never get away with anything. And what are we getting away with? You know, we're not, because we're just cheating ourselves in the long run. And that is not my pleasure, really. So we're sort of running out of time. There's so much I could say about this. I mean, we could talk about the social pressures surrounding, you know, what we do when there's food cravings. We're so busy with our active lifestyles. Well, I would say that you should plan ahead. I get up an extra hour earlier to make my smoothies for my smoothies, my lunch for the day. Sometimes I'm at my business all day, and I bring my lunch and my dinner with me, so I'm all set for the day. So that is another suggestion: make your food in the morning. Even if you're going to come home and steam some vegetables, maybe you have it all ready to go. So if you're tired at the end of the day, it's not even anything you could think about. All you have to do is heat up the water, and then the dressing is done and everything's ready, and your dinner is easy. So do whatever you can to make it as easy for yourself as possible. And so again, invite you to check out my website, gravityeastvillage.com or accentonwellnessnyc.com. I offer this as a class periodically, and I am going to be offering it soon in the new year. And then we can really get down into more detail. And I want to thank Lee for being my engineer today and my sidekick. He had a lot of great
keep kicking me comments. In the side.
No. And I want to thank Tribeca Radio, New York Talk Radio. Look at that. Tribeca Radio is still in my mind. Yeah. New York Talk Radio. And we'll see you next time. If you're interested in booking an appointment at Gravity, you can call 212-388-9788. I'd also like to thank Pete Calandra for our music. Take care and Happy New Year.